whoever didn't hear the first part of the message, then they can always get the recording. Amen. And so we're going to kind of pick up where we left off. We started with a song I said that was very appropriate to begin the lesson this morning. And this one is just as appropriate, and maybe even more. You know, as we look at this chart, we see that right at the top here, that the Lord is the vision. He is the goal. He is the purpose. You know, amen? Amen. And the song I'd like to sing to you really speaks to that profoundly. It's called Be Thou My Vision. And there's a verse here that you might not be familiar with. Some of us have been around for a while, probably know this verse, but it goes like this. And if I start off in the wrong key, all I got to say is too bad. Listen in now. Father, help me now. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be aught else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Amen. I like that song because it's more than a song. It's a poem. It's a praise. It's a prayer. And Lord, that is my prayer. Be our vision. As we finish up what we started this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll grab your chart. And let me say this. Who's our computer whiz here? You have a computer? Everybody's got a computer whiz. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send the PDF. And you guys can make it and change it to fit whatever relationship that you want here. It's only going to cost you $19.95. No, this is a chart God gave me. I can't put a price tag on this. It took me years to develop this, amen? And so, you know, if you want to change it, you know, put your pastor and his wife. You guys can put your name over here. Your wife probably, if you don't wear pants, don't wear pants. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do is make it just a silhouette of a person on this side, on that side. You'll see. But I'll send it to you, and if God leads, if you want to, you know, make it to profile or fit any relationship that you might have. Some of you are single. You guys are still single. Amen. Still stay there for a while. Amen. Papa said amen. But anyhow, you know, it could be friend to friend, male to male, you know, that sort of thing. All right. So anyhow, that's enough for that. So anyhow, let's pick up where we left off. We will review by this. We'll talk to you today. Once again, I'll be reminding you that the title of our messages today, part two now, is how to abide in Christ together in a Christ-centered triangle relationship. Okay? Our text, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, if this is not one of the top 10 verses in your brain, please place it there. It's impossible to please God without being dependent upon him. And that's what abiding in him is all about. You know, Jesus defines abiding, one of the ways he defines it this way. He says in John chapter 15, verse 4, he said, listen, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, the natural branch, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me. No more can ye except you in me, abide in me. In other words, we need to live our lives as dependent upon the Lord to provide everything that we need as much as a natural branch does a natural vine. Jesus goes on to say that I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man or a woman abideth not in me, he is like a branch that is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, they might be burned. Some people teach that means that if you're out of fellowship with God, he's going to throw you in hell. That's not what it says. God doesn't throw anybody in hell, especially for not abiding or having fellowship with him. Amen? A Christian is not abiding in Christ in close relationship with him, he's like a withered branch, not bearing any fruit. Worthless to God and worthless to man. That's basically the gist of that portion of scripture. And I know that by experience, because when I'm not abiding in Christ, when I'm out of fellowship with God, stay away from me. I'm so stinking self-centered. That's when I really get depressed, brother. I get so stinking ugly. All I care about is me, myself, and I. I'm just like have a little pity party. The backside of your heart is what? Filled with own ways. That's what it's like when a Christian is out of fellowship with God. They're worse than an unsaved person. Miserable. The thought, the theme, to abide in Christ together, you must diligently seek him together. The Bible calls that one anothering. Amen?
Amen.
In his kingdom first. In and at the door of our hearts. In daily fellowship with him personally and with each other. And that's where we left off, I believe. If you turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, we'll go there, please. You know, it's important that you have your own personal devotion to time. And we had a brief conversation with Peggy, with all that wisdom that she has, and Chris. I tell you what, there's some very wise women in this place. And we've grown up together spiritually. We've taught each other over the years, and we remind each other of things we've learned when I come around. That's like that at lunchtime. You need to have your own personal devotional time. But then you also, especially if you're married, you need to have devotion with your wife and your husband. You might not be able to do it every day, but it wouldn't hurt to make it a priority. Let me tell you, and this is confession. For years, I put ministry before my wife and children. And my wife is still upset about that. She said, listen, Tony, boy. She calls me boy sometimes, bro. Shut up, Dad, call me boy. What are you going to get, man? Yeah. I don't mind playing second fiddle to anybody but God. Amen. But you want to put everything and everyone else before me, Tony. I don't like it. You mean you really care that much about me? Tony, only by God's grace do I care for you like that. You know what I say? Amen. We need to make time. If you haven't. Peggy said, no, it was Chris. A few minutes. 15, 20 minutes. Just start the day off. Not just, you know, do we pray with our spouses anymore? And those of you who think I'm just talking to married folks, man, you need a partner in this race. You know, it would behoove you to have someone who you consider to be like over you. Accountability partner. To have somebody you consider your equal. And then have someone you consider your discipling underneath you. Not in a condescending way, but somebody you can take by the hand and say, listen, come on up here. I know I've been walking with you a little bit longer than you have. You know, what happens is God makes it a mutual ministry because that discipler, that person you're discipling becomes your disciple at times too. Only God can do that. But we need to have devotional times, personally, with God. Husbands, with your wife. Wife, with your husband. In this journey, as we take steps of faith, diligently, not casually, or half-heartedly. Are you with me?
Amen.
Let me say this. One of the reasons why I really felt the need to preach this lesson, because talking to your pastor, very informative. And he was telling me, he said, Brother Saxton, we got people in our church that kind of grew up a troubled life like yours. You know, my mother died when I was 3 years old. That was very traumatic. And one of the reasons why, you know, I had them imbalances in my brain. You mentioned that. I remember that when I was a kid, just not long ago, after I've been diagnosed bipolar, and I don't let that stuff identify me. I really don't, as much as I can. My identity is in Christ. But a lady that grew up with when we were kids, 5 years, she said, Tony, I remember back in the day when you were a kid, that there were days, man, you would disappear up in your room, and nobody would know where you're at except for Tony's up in his room, hibernating. But when you came out of that room, could nobody keep up with you, Tony? I mean, you're high and low. And part of that, there was a trauma that was associated with that.
That's right.
When my mother died when I was 3, man, I felt like nobody could love me like mom. And I miss that. What am I saying here? Almost before, because I don't want to go too far on bunny trail. We need relations. God does not design the body to function on its own. God designed the body for us to help each other become like Christ. And we'll come back to that. But anyhow, we need to have private devotions with the Lord, and especially with your spouse. Try to set aside time when you're going through the Word together on a regular basis, praying together. We're not talking about having 1 hour Bible studies every day. On your journey, draw nigh to God together. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts and mind. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter may turn to sorrow and joy to heaven. Draw nigh to God. The devil will flee. You tell me he's not trying to destroy the marriages like he's never had before. All relationships. Never seen so much confusion, so much chaos, so much hatred, so much division than we're looking at right now. Daily fellowship. Look at John, 1 John chapter 1, verses. Let's do it. Someone read 5 through 10. Who hasn't read yet? You. Come on. Grab your Bible. Let's get going, young man. Be useful now. Let's go. Let's go. Hop, chop, chop.
1 John 5:10.
5 through 10. Listen up, man. Go ahead.
What chapter?
Before I get my switch out on you. Matter of fact, go cut me a switch. Three of them, go braid them up for me. That's the way I used to get whipped down in Georgia. Peach tree switches. No, but seriously, all kidding aside, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. You're not offended yet, are you?
No, not yet.
You know I did. Read loud, please.
This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Here's the point. God wants us to have fellowship with him. You can't have fellowship with God if you're in sin. Christ will not fellowship with you. He'll have no part with you, no partnership with you. He cleanses us by the word. Amen? John chapter 15, verse 3. Now, keep this in mind. And this will take you way back, brother. We've been around for a while. Repeat after me. Fellowship with God.
Fellowship with God.
Will keep you from sin.
Will keep you from sin.
Or sin.
Or sin.
Will keep you from fellowship with God.
From fellowship with God.
Some of us live our lives sinning so much we become desensitized to it.
Right.
We don't call sin sin anymore. We're out of fellowship with God and have no understanding about what we're missing. We know that something is missing. Well, Jesus is missing. You, listen, if you don't have a quiet time, shame on you. Isn't he worth it? And if you need to develop one, ask your pastor. I'm sure he's shown you. You haven't been listening. I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying. You know, if you're like me, I'd switch it up from time to time. Kind of gets kind of stale sometimes. I tell you, I get insomnia sometimes, so I just go ahead and have devotions. If the devil, you're going to keep me awake. Well, I'm going to have devotions.
Right?
Are you with me?
Amen.
Next step in this journey. To abide in Christ together, you must diligently seek him together in his word. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to try to quote this for you. So make sure you look in that portion of scripture and see where I messed up. Because I'm going to mess up, but you won't know unless you get in scripture. For Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Someone start me off.
My son.
That ain't good enough. If thou wilt receive my word, and hide thy commandments with thee, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth a sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to those who walk uprightly. You see where I've got an asterisk there? S-S-S-S-S. Someone told me I should alliterize that thing. In other words, my son, if thou will receive my word, that's seizing it, and hide my commandments with me, that's storing it in your heart. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, that's praying over the word. If thou seekest her as silver, that speaks for itself, and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. See, listen, seize his word. Receive it. Store it in your heart. Pray over it. Ask God, Lord, what are you saying here? And if he didn't show you yet, Lord, please, would you show me what this means? Passionate about it. Seek it as silver, as it is very priceless. It is. Search for it as for hidden treasures. Then, see, this is the basis for any Biblical Bible study. This is where really the whole concepts of coming, rightly dividing the word of truth comes from. Any real Bible study comes from this. Be diligent and passionate about the word of God. Every day I pray, Lord, please help me to read your word, memorize it, meditate on it, hide it in my heart, obey it from my heart, so that your word, so that your love would be perfected in me.
Amen.
I haven't arrived. I'm working on it. We won't turn here for the sake of time, because this is really a three-part message. And I got people going to sleep. I don't have a squirt gun, but I got a cup of water. Give it to who? That person
right there, Sea Breeze.
You're my co-pilot. I don't want you to make us run into a tree. I know that food. I knew it. I saw you eating. I said, this brother going to sleep. I don't care how good the message is, if it is. But anyhow, I'm going to edit for the sake of time. Folks, husband, wife, Tony, Yvonne, John, and White Sugar. Diligently seek him in giving, doing alms. Diligently seek him in praying, our Father, Abba Father. Diligently seek him in fasting. Fast together. I'm sure this brother has taught you how to fast, haven't you? You do it, right? You know what I tell people this? I said, listen, be a student of fasting. Don't just get into fasting without being a student. Because you can fast. You look at Isaiah 58. There were people that were fasting with the wrong motive. An improper fast. Learn how to fast properly. Some people can't fast the same way. I tell you what, you're diabetic. You try to fast the same way as somebody not a diabetic, you might die.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Chris? Be a student. Learn, but fast. When you fast, when you pray, when you give alms, he expects that. That's taking your walk to another level. Diligently seek him in fellowship. Oh, in loving one another the way he loves us. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I'll quote that. A new commandment I give unto you. What's the old commandment? Well, the old commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is like unto this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The new commandment takes it to another level. You love one another the way I love you. Now that I've gone and sacrificed my life for you, I'll give you the grace, the ability to do that if you yield to my spirit. I remember once I was this is a funny story, real quick, when I was playing basketball years ago, and my son, he was 6 years, and I was a lot younger, and anyhow, he came to me during devotions, and he said this, he said, I was teaching on loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and he didn't wait till the devotion was older. He stopped me in the middle of the devotion, 6 years old, and he said, Dad, I said, what? How are you going to love mom the way Jesus loves you? Tell me, Dad. And I said, boy, go sit down and be quiet. But anyhow, impossible apart from abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
Impossible unless you allow be so close to Christ that you allow Christ to do it through you. That's when you begin to understand what it means to be constrained, consumed, controlled by the love of Christ. Charity begins at home with mom and pop. See, I didn't have that. And you know, I tell you, you know, that now I finally got back off that bunny trail. I didn't know what to do. My family life was whacked, man. Yeah, I grew up almost like an orphan. I was orphan. I lived in 10 different family settings. Praise the Lord, I was with 10 different families. They were my family members.
Amen.
Aunts and uncles and cousins. One aunt, four different times. Until I finally ran away from home and I figured I better go to the Navy because I get three scores. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I was so shy as a kid, so introverted as a kid. It was like I lived my whole life, and you guys were back. I found out that I'd known them back in my childhood. Uh-huh. And now they didn't know me that closely because they were both about 8 years younger than me. But you remember some of those things.
Yeah.
It's amazing how God allows us to cross paths again. But I was so introverted. I don't have time to share this, but I'll come back and share because you said you wanted me to come on a Thursday night.
That's right.
And I'll do that then. But I will say this. My mother died. I was 3 years old, and I was the second youngest. I had a brother that was two. He doesn't remember nothing about mom. I remember things. No father in sight. My mother left, he left. So my 19-year-old sister tried to raise us. That didn't happen real well. Make a long story short, I found out years down the road that my biological father was a family doctor. Anthony L. Jordan. Georgia Health Center. That's why my name is Anthony. Somebody owes me some money. But he probably had a lot of bills. You know Dr. Jordan.
Yeah.
Anthony, look at the profile. I don't look nothing like the one he said was my biological dad, but I look like him. That's why he used to play with me all the time and tease me about them broken needles that he used to stick in people. But all right, let me move on. What I'm saying is this. Yeah, I came from a broken. But God has given me the ability to make a great home. How am I doing? Man, for 40 years, I've been struggling. I'm just starting to get it. You say, well, my home is messed up. Start now, man. Fix that thing.
Amen.
Take the right steps of faith, man. Begin right now, finishing well. Jesus is coming back soon. I bet you one of the things that he's going to look at is things that we got listed up here. How did you do?
Amen.
I mean, did you take this journey of drawing closer to me and closer to each other? This is huge to the Father. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Don't go to sleep yet. Look at this one. Diligently seek. To abide in Christ together, you must diligently seek him together. And fellowship with the family at the dinner table. Someone read. The other brother from the same mother. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'll be done at 2 o'clock. Hang in there. And then I got to ease on down the road. And I got to eat my dinner because somebody saved it for me.
What was that again?
Pay attention, son. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 7. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 7. I'm doing that for your family's sake. I know that you love my picking on you. That's right. And you better read well because I still got some water left. Okay, go ahead.
Now
you're not doing good enough. Slow down. Slow down. Stand up.
Now these things are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord thy God, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
And teach them. Another verse? I'm going to throw some water on you. I'm sorry.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Thank you, brother. Good job. Thank you very much. Thanks for putting up on me. Good with me. Please don't wait outside and jump me when I get up. I got my boys with me. That's my body guy. I know they look kind of old, but they're tough. Here's the thing, folks. And let me draw this one point from here. Teach them how to love God. Teach them how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, the greatest lesson that God teaches his children, we won't look at it, but there's a reference, I believe it's in Thessalonians, where it said that all of his children shall be taught love God. Teach your children how to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach our children how to love their neighbor as they love themselves. Teach your children how to love one another. Teach your children. Or train them. Same thing. How to love the enemies. How to love souls. Greatest lesson that we can teach our children is the greatest lesson that God teaches us. Love worketh no ill to your neighbor. The dinner table is a good place to start. He said, teach them wherever they go, in the car while you're driving. You know, and we're not talking about beating them over the head with the Bible, because more is taught. More is taught than taught. More is taught than taught. Thank you. Teach them. God will help. The first and great commandment, love God. Someone told me once, and I was preaching on the love of God, and this young man, this young whippersnapper, this is at a pastor's conference, and I was teaching that pamphlet I gave, teaching on the love of God. And this young rookie came up behind me and said, Pastor, you talk about the love of God too much. What about the holiness of God? And I sat there, and I was, man, I tell you what, first time I think I ever really started blushing, I was getting really kind of hot. That was supposed to have been funny. But anyway, I said, Lord, what can I learn from what this man is saying? And the thought came to me, if you want to be holy, obey the Ten Commandments. You know how you can obey the Ten Commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right. That's good.
The end of the commandments is charity.
That's right.
I learned a lot that day.
Good.
Then I went over to his church and visited him afterwards. You know what verse he had in the church? Not by his faithful church. He said, Tony, I would have named my church charity, but you had the name. So you got a lot to learn. And so do I. Boy, this ain't easy. Tony, you need to do a better job of loving your wife. Because she's still angry at you. You know, there was one time when she got real sick at the hospital when she had a heart attack, stroke, and seizures. And I thought I was doing a really good job of taking care of her. I was a caregiver, empty nest. And make a long story short, after she got out of the hospital, I wanted to take her by the office to see the pastor, because she hadn't seen the pastor in a while. And me and the pastor's in there taking notes. We're talking about our sermon. We're talking about the love of God. And my wife said this. She said, somebody in this room needs to practice what they preach. That's my wife. She didn't have a filter before she had the stroke, but after the stroke, no filter.
Yeah.
Chris, you know what I'm talking about. You know Yvonne. Can you hear her saying that? Chris? You know her before. Peggy knew. She always spoke her mind, didn't she? And Pastor looked at me, and he said, and I looked at him, and Pastor wanted to know, who's she talking about? And I said, Pastor, she must be talking about you. I thought I was loving her with the love of the Lord. I wasn't. I preached at a conference over at Lighthouse a few days later, and God gave me this verse. Whoso keepeth my word in him, verily is the love of God. God spoke to my wife, spoke through my wife to me.
Amen.
And he's still saying the same thing. Tony, you can do better.
Oh.
You haven't arrived, guys.
Uh-oh.
You want our love, my wives, to honor, obey us? Makes it easier.
Amen.
When we love them the way Christ does. Isn't that right, sister? I'm talking to you. Please respond. Isn't that right? Boy, I tell you, a great picture for me is when I see two elderly couples, a little bit older than me, all bound up where you can't separate them walking down the street.
Amen.
Next step. We're moving along quickly. I said, oh Lord, have mercy. Don't make a liar. Don't let me be a liar. Seek him diligently together in the house of God. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, don't, you know, that shouldn't be, 24 and 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, we need to be in church now more than ever before.
Amen. Amen.
You see more of God's people outside the church, man, than in the church. Without having you forgotten that the purpose of the church is that we would go and be perfected or be helped to become more like Jesus. Isn't that why you're here?
Amen.
That's why I'm an evangelist. The reason why I'm an evangelist, brother, is because that's my calling. God has called me to come alongside of you and help you.
Amen.
To perfect the saints. I'm trying to do that now. To perfect the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry of edifying or building up the body of Christ. How long? Until we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come to a place of Christ-likeness, that's what the purpose of the church is. And if the church is not doing it, you need to find another church, but I bet your church is doing that.
Amen.
You got people that live in Rochester listening to your pastor's broadcast because he's doing that. Isn't that right, Chris? Peggy, isn't that right? Please don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Man, be in the house of God every time the door is open for the right reasons.
Amen.
Especially now. Especially now. Amen. In these last days. The next step. If you want to buy Christ together, you must diligently seek him together in faithful stewardship and service. It's required of a steward that a man or woman become faithful. Mm-hmm. Steward, what does that mean? Managing someone else's resources. Your time is not yours. Your talents, gifts are not yours. Your treasures are not yours or mine. You're God-given. Primarily so that we can invest those back into his kingdom.
Amen.
So that he can reward us. Not only in glory, but even today. On judgment day, you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
To abide in Christ together, you must diligently seek him together and following those who seek him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, follow me as I follow Christ. Then he says, and mark those who follow me and follow them. Listen, you want to, on this journey of abiding in Christ, on this journey of drawing closer to the Lord, follow somebody that's following Jesus. No matter how old we are or how young we are, you're following him, aren't you? And you got to be young. You know, he's, that's your boy? That's your boy? No, he ain't. He looked down. No. That's your grandpa? Is that your grandpa? I want to see a birth certificate. But anyhow, all I'm trying to say is, look around you, man, woman. You want to make it in this journey? Look at those people that are following. Follow them. They'll lead you to Christ. The last step that we're going to talk about here is to abide in Christ together, you must diligently seek him together in seeking and saving the lost. You want to find Jesus? You'll find him seeking to save the lost. You want to draw closer to him? Be concerned about the people he's concerned about.
Amen.
Be concerned about lost. I'm going to tell you, folks, in my experience, I've learned that you're not going to browbeat me into soul winning. You're not going to make me guilty about not soul winning. You're not going to do it. Because I know that I'll do it in the flesh. But if I'm abiding in Christ, allowing him to live his life through me, then I'm more likely,
amen,
to allow him to make me to be the ambassador that he was.
Amen.
Allowing him to draw men and women unto himself through me. Baby, I'm just about done. I know you're tired. Me too. So here we are. At the end of the message, I just preached three-part message to you in two parts. Let me give you some incentives. Let me give you one incentive in reference to being on this journey. We're going to close with this. Psalms 91. You can turn it if you want. But the verse says this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That these verses are for those who are willing to abide in Christ. Where's the secret place? In the vine. In the vine. In Christ. He that dwelleth or abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Whose shadows abide? The Father does. He takes care of the vine. And at the end of that verse, it says that Psalms 91, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, higher ground, because he has known my name. I will be with him in trouble. And when he calls on me, I will answer him. You want your prayers answered? You know, when I'm abiding in Christ, he answers prayers before I can even ask him. Let me know if this isn't true for you. When I'm abiding in Christ, he puts people in my path.
Amen.
That they're just there.
That's right.
He fulfills needs before I can ask him. When I'm abiding in Christ, I love people with the love of the Lord. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, above the noise.
Amen.
Like an eagle. Eagle's wings. Because he has known my name. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor you. If you abide in me, I'll satisfy you with long life. Of course, if you're not saved, you can't abide. You can't draw closer to the Lord until you get saved. Because before you can abide in him, you got to allow him to abide in you. The moment you receive Christ as your Savior, He comes to take residence in your inner man. But you have to humble yourself before you can be saved. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I'm not here saying that salvation is easy believism. I'm saying this. God looks upon the heart.
That's right.
When a person is sincerely has a sincere desire to become a child of God, to begin on this journey to draw closer to the Lord, God knows if you're sincere or not.
Amen.
And He will meet you right there.
Amen.
If you would surrender and allow Him to be the Lord of your life. If thou will confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you believe in your heart, sincere heart, that God raised Him from the dead, and you call upon Him with a sincere heart, realizing that the Bible says you don't have to realize a whole lot of stuff, you just have to surrender. Did you do anything different than that to get saved? Genuinely? Did you just give your heart to the Lord? I'm sorry, you do know the Lord, right? I thought you did. Anybody here, if you receive Christ as your Savior, and you did it sincerely, as you're prompted by the Spirit of God, that's the first step. That's the only step for salvation. If you haven't done that, you're not saved.
Right.
And if you're not sure, you need to find out.
That's right.
Pastor, I'm done. I've taken up enough time.
Sir, you have done well. Appreciate it.
Just know that you can receive Christ any place, anytime that God needs.